Blog Talk Radio.
First Peter 1:15, as he which is holy, which hath called you, is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, or in all manner of living. Hallelujah. And the only way that you can do that is when you fall in love with Jesus.
Separation. Separation from sin, separation from the world. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14, which says simply, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Be ye holy, for I am holy, God says. If we expect to have the Holy Spirit dwelling in our lives, it makes a lot of sense. We must be holy. Holiness really means being Christ-like. Holiness means every aspect of living for God. It's a privilege to be holy. It's a privilege not to be bound to sin. It's a privilege not to be addicted to alcohol. It's a privilege not to be addicted to smoking. It's a privilege not to be bound by lust and bitterness and envy. It's the most powerful thing in the world that when somebody treats you wrong, instead of treating them wrong back, you can say, look, nobody's going to manipulate me. Nobody's going to tell me how to think. The devil can't make me do this. No other person can provoke me into an ungodly situation. But through the power of the Holy Ghost, I can respond with a meek and gentle and quiet and peaceable spirit under all circumstances.
Well, don't y'all over there think of, well, y'all say you can't do this, you can't dress, and you can't do certain things.
You don't matter
how long you talk to them. Until they get a revelation of who God is, they're not going to understand what holiness is. Got to obey the word of God. This salvation in Acts 2:38 is not a must. I mean, it's not a maybe. It's a must. It's not just an optional way, another place building to get into. Just say you're a believer, but it is the only way to travel and to become a true, full-hearted believer.
Good evening. Welcome to Kingdom of God Ministries. Tonight we will be continuing our teaching on how to demon-proof your house and temple of God. And you may say, Evangelist, what is a temple? The temple is where the Holy Spirit should dwell in your spirit. And if, you know, you have not received the Holy Spirit, we're going to be talking about that too. But yeah, we want to continue this teaching. And just a quick reminder, our special guest, Bishop Earthquake Kelly, will be here in our studio audience live teaching on escaping the NEMA cycle. Are you in a cycle? Have you been in a cycle? Do your life seem to be going round and around in circles and you can't get out? Are you in one bad relationship after the other? Are you caught up in all kinds of drugs or alcohol addictions that you can't break? Well, you know what? You might be in a NEMA cycle. Adultery, keep having adulterous affairs over and over again. You may be in a NEMA cycle. Poverty, no matter how much money you make, you still seem like you're broke. You may be in a NEMA cycle. So what I'm saying is join us next week, 7:30, Eastern Standard Time. Invite some friends, family. I know you may not be in a cycle, but I know you know somebody who may be. And say, bro, sis, you need to listen to this program. Bishop Kelly was inducted into voodoo at the age of, I think, the tender age of 5 years old. And he went through all kinds of torment just to be one of the high priests in voodoo. So this man knows what he's talking about. You know, a lot of churches ain't talking about it, but we're going to take you there. And also, we have over 167 tapes where you can just access some of our teachings, over 167, no matter where you are. If you're in another country, if you're out of the state, you can still listen to these archived teachings. And we had some heavy hitters on our program. Carol Matriciana teaching about the Kundalini awakening. We had John Ramirez talking about Santeria. He was a high priest in Santeria. We got so many archive teachings that we're going to be coming to you, bringing some of those. So sometimes we may not be live, but we will put those teachings on because we've been doing this since 2011. So you know we have a lot of teachings. So with that, we're going to open our show up tonight. Part two, how to demon-proof your house and temple of God. Father God, we want to just thank you for this time that we're spending with you. Lord God, we ask that your presence go out through the listening audience. Touch them, Lord God. You know what everyone listening, what they need, where they are. And Lord God, we ask by your Holy Spirit that you go out and heal the sick, heal the depressed, the demoniac. Lord God, you came to set the captives free. And we know it's not by our hand, but it's by the mighty hand of God. So, Lord, with that, we're going to begin teaching your word, and you just use us as a vessel so we can impart the truth to your people. In Jesus' name, amen. Take it away.
Amen. Amen. So we are just going into a continuation of part two of how to demon-proof your house and temple of God. And we're going to go right into the various scriptures and spirits that people are dealing with. So now we're going to get into the spirit of poverty. And the Bible teaches about poverty and its effects on people. To write or speak about the spirit of poverty, it really doesn't fall into the arena of prosperity teaching. They don't talk about that. A spirit of poverty has nothing to do with how much anyone owns, what they eat or wear. A spirit of poverty can oppress and not infrequently does wealthy people. Many people below the poverty level are not oppressed by this spirit. It has nothing to do with wealth or lack of it. It is related to greed and fear of loss. A poverty spirit is related to greed and fear of loss. I want that to sink in. A spirit of poverty can be defined as a demonic spirit empowered by iniquity and sin in the areas of giving and receiving. It operates generationally through iniquity. Therefore, it is what? A familiar spirit, a family line spirit. The spirit is related to Belial, the destroyer, described in Psalm 18:4 and 2 Corinthians 6:15. A spirit of poverty is a condition in a person, a people, and or a land. So you see it's widespread. Now, what are the manifestations of this spirit of poverty? First thing, laziness. Proverbs 19:15 reads, slothfulness casts into a deep sleep, and an idle soul shall suffer hunger. Matthew 6:24 reads, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. All right, and then you have greed. That's another manifestation of a spirit of poverty. All right, Matthew 13:22 reads, he also that receiveth seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceivingness of riches choke the word and he become unfruitful. In other words, he sacrifices his love of God because he's so greedy for the things of the world, he drops the things of God.
The rich young ruler.
Yeah, and also with the rich young ruler. The one thing I would say about the rich young ruler is that in scriptures it said that Jesus loved the man.
Mm.
Now, they said Jesus loved this man who was rich, but that man loved his riches over than God and Christ.
Yeah.
So he walked away sorrowful because he didn't want to do what the Lord told him to do and giving his wealth, his riches to the poor.
Mm-hmm.
And then coming and following him. So you see, he had a spirit of poverty on him.
Yeah.
All right. Then it says another manifestation of the spirit of poverty is looting and stealing.
Huh.
It's like King James, Exodus 20 and 15 says, thou shalt not steal. Real simple. Ephesians 4 and 28 says, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Hey, wait a minute. You mean to tell me when you get wealthy and get money and all of this, that you're supposed to give to folks that's poor and needy? My goodness. That's what the Lord says. That's what the scripture says. So in other words, what the Lord is saying to us is when he puts wealth on us and gives us riches, we're supposed to help people that's less fortunate than us. We're supposed to feed the hungry, clothe the naked, take care of the sick, house those that are homeless. That's what the Lord said.
A lot of people look to the government and say, well, they're taking 10% out of our check, so they should do it.
No. Yes, that's true, but that's not what God said.
Right.
That's not what God said. And another one, part of the spirit of poverty is concealed sin. Concealing sin. He that covers his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesses and forsaketh them shall have mercy. That's Proverbs 28 and 13. And the last one it says here is the lack of generosity. Now that's what we covered before.
Mm-hmm.
It says Proverbs 11:26. He that withholdeth corn, the people shall curse him, but blessing shall be upon the head of him that selleth it. And then Ecclesiastes 5 and 13, it says, there is a sore evil which I have seen under the sun, namely, riches kept for the owners thereof to their hurt. So you see, the lack of generosity in all these things that I just mentioned is in reference to a spirit of poverty. Has nothing to do with how much money you have or the things you have.
Not the way God
looks
at it.
But it's not the way God looks at it. He said it's a hard thing in reference to how you say greed. In reference to greed. That's it. So it's a lot of people who have, they have millions, but they're greedy. And they have a fear of losing that. So they say, it's mine. I ain't giving you nothing. You get it the way I got it. You hear that? Okay, I'm going to get off of that right now. But I'm going to go to a few other scriptures, and then I'm going to go to a couple of other spirits here that we're dealing with. And these are spirits that we deal with on a daily basis. They're out there every day.
Well, people don't realize they are spirits. They just think that's part of their personality. They'll say, well, I'm a little tight, you know, or stingy. And you should have a generous heart. We're not saying just go and give all you have. We know you have to pay bills. But churches wouldn't need to teach tithing doctrine if they really trusted God, that God's going to touch people's heart and have them to give. You wouldn't have to teach on tithing every Sunday.
No.
Because you trust the Lord that he will touch the hearts. I mean, we've been going since 2011. We don't really ask for donations. Now, it would be nice if they did, but God provides for us.
Amen.
And he
Amen.
Has not missed a beat.
That's right.
Go ahead.
Amen. I'm going to go to Revelation 3, 14 through 18 and Revelation 2, 8 through 11. And then I'm going to share on what defeats and destroys a spirit of poverty. Now, one thing I noticed in this, in defeating and destroying a spirit of poverty is not necessarily the binding or loosing of things, although you can do that. But it's an aspect of doing, being obedient to the Lord and doing different things that you know to do. That destroys the spirit of poverty. But what I'm going to do now, Revelation 3, 14 through 18 reads, "And unto the angel of the church of Laodiceans write, These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. And knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I'll counsel thee to buy of the gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent." Now I'm going to Revelation 2, 8 through 11. "And unto the angel of the church of Smyrna write, These things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. I know thy works and tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. But none of those things which thou shalt suffer, behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and you shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit said unto the churches. Yeah. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death." Mm-hmm. So you see what the Lord is talking about when it comes to things, wealth, mm-hmm. money.
Big
you can have Mega all
church.
Kind of money
yeah.
and all kind of things. But in the eyesight of God and the kingdom of God, you're poor. You are poor. But then you have another person who is physically poor, but in the eyesight of God, he's rich because he has a revelation and he has God in his heart. He worships the Lord. He loves Christ. He loves God. He's doing the things that God told him to do, but he don't have a lot of money. But in the eyesight of God, God say this man is rich. Now, let me go to how to defeat a spirit of poverty.
Mm-hmm.
It says, look to true source. Now, you know what that is.
Mm-hmm.
When you're looking to the true source, you're looking to God. You're looking to Christ. You're obeying the word of God.
Yeah.
And it says, giving to the Lord. It says giving to the Lord. It really didn't say how much, but you give out of a pure heart. So you know to give to the Lord. I'm not going to get into all this that they talk about. It says give to the Lord. If you want to give God $50, give him $50. If you want to give $500, give $500. If you want to give $5,000, whatever the Lord puts on your heart. If you want to give $50,000, do that.
But you don't need people twisting your arm, because when you have them twisting your arm and you do it, then your heart is grudgingly, because you don't really want to do it. So don't let nobody twist your arm to give. You give out of a righteous heart.
Amen. That's right. And one thing I'm going to bring out, and this is it. God does not need our monies. Romans 11:35.
But prosperity people.
Prophets
say that.
Look, I
say God don't need your money, but I do.
Well, I'm not. I'm going by the word of God. It says God does not need your money. It's Romans 11:35. Giving releases resources.
Mm-hmm.
Giving to the poor. Proverbs 19:17, 28, and 27. A portion of scripture says that when you give to the poor, you lend to God.
Amen.
And God always pays. Well, he really don't have a debt like that. But he always honors your giving.
Mm-hmm.
He always honors your giving. Hard work. Proverbs 21 and 5, 27, 23 through 27, 28, 19. And it says generosity. Generosity, obedience to the word of God.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's how you destroy a spirit of poverty. Look to the source, given to the Lord, given to the poor, hard work, generosity, obedience to the word of God. Now we go to a different spirit at this time, and I'm going to go through it for about my 10 or 15 minutes, and then I'm going to turn it over to Evangelist Catherine Montgomery. And what we have now, we're talking about a spirit of death, and the manifestation of the spirit of death is suicide attempts. Well, what do you do with this? Now, you bind the spirit of death, okay? You say, oh, can you do that? Yeah, it's a spirit. Now I want to say this. Everything that we pray and everything that we ask the Lord to do is by the will of God. In other words, we can't do anything. Only thing we can do is ask and pray to the Lord for some deliverance. Because sometimes it's just a person's time to go home. So if it's that person's time to go home and you pray and you ask and you try to bind the spirit of death, and if it's that time for that person to go, he's going to go. But if it's not time for that person to go and you bind that spirit of death, he won't go.
But God, the Holy Spirit, will lead you in how to pray.
That's right. The Spirit of God will lead you in how to pray.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I remember when my dad, he left, he was ready to go home, you know? So with that, when a person say they just ready to go, sometimes you have to release them.
Amen.
No matter how you want them here in this life, when they say they just tired and they ready to go, you have to release them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen.
Amen. All right. So you bind the spirit of death, but you loose the spirit of life, love, joy, and peace in the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Now we have a spirit of jealousy. Now the spirit of jealousy is a mean spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And it's mean. And I'm going to get into the manifestations of this spirit of jealousy. Now listen to this here. The spirit of jealousy manifestations is murder.
Mm-hmm.
First thing.
Wow.
Murder. Revenge, spite, anger, rage, jealousy, hatred, cruelty, strife, contention, competition, envy, cause divisions. You got a host of scriptures here. It's too many for me to read. Maybe I'll go. No, it's too many to read. But those are the manifestations of the spirit of jealousy.
Mm.
So a person that has a spirit of jealousy, he will kill you. He or she can kill you.
Well, look at Cain and Abel.
Yes, look at Cain and Abel. So you see what happened there.
They find out right now in Israel
because
of jealousy and
mm-hmm.
go way back thousands of years ago.
That's right.
With Esau and Jacob.
Yeah, yeah. And the funny thing about that, when you read the scripture, when you really read the scripture, Jacob and Esau made up. Read it.
Mm-hmm.
Read it. Jacob and Esau, they came together. They hugged each other. They repented.
Mm-hmm.
They reconciled. And one went one way and the other went the other way. And it was good. So this is something that come about maybe 100 years ago. But Esau and Jacob made up. Okay? I wanted to bring that out because Esau and Jacob wasn't fighting like that. Now, Esau did want to kill him after a while, but after a while, he repented. God had blessed him, and he said, I ain't gonna keep running after Jacob like this, okay? All right. Now, how do you deal with a spirit of jealousy? Now, this is what you can do. You can bind the spirit of jealousy, loose the love of God, and go into 1 Corinthians 13 and Ephesians 5 and 2. The reason I'm giving these scriptures like this and the word of God like this is because I want you to go into the word and see how to deal with this according to the spirit of the living God, according to the word of God. Because you got to have something within your heart. One thing I want to say to you, you're not going to be able to defeat and fight any demonic spirits without the Lord on your side. You need to be saved. You need to have the Lord as your Savior. You need to accept him as Lord. You have to look at him as being the Son of the living God, and that God has raised him from the dead. You have to recognize what he did on the cross for your salvation. And you need to be full of the Holy Ghost. You need some power, because these spirits, they honor, they will obey authority and power by the Holy Ghost and by the name of Jesus Christ. So you can't be like the sons of Sceva and you come against these things in the name of somebody else's God or in the name of some other prophet or preacher. No, you got to have a real relationship with the Lord and have the Spirit of God within you before you can come against these spirits. So if you can't do it, you go to somebody who can. And when you get saved and filled with the Holy Ghost, then these things can't come back.
And I want to add something, too. A lot of these deliverance preachers online, on YouTube and stuff, be careful. Be very careful. Sometimes you could go to their bio and see what they believe in. But like I said, you got a lot of fly-by-night sensationalist preachers. I just read for one pastor, he charged you $60 a minute to cast demons out or to counsel you. So, you know, God told you in his word, freely we receive, freely we give. What we impart to you tonight, there's not a price tag on it. We're giving this to you freely. This information we're giving to you is by God, but we are delivering it via as a mouthpiece. But we're not charging you. We're not saying that you can pay $25 a minute and we'll come to your house, Ghostbusters. We're not telling you that. Be careful, because there's a lot of scams and shams out there. And all they will do is get you more infiltrated with demons.
That's right. All right. Amen. Amen. And then we have the lying spirit. We know what that is. But let me get into the manifestations of a lying spirit. That is strong deceptions, flattery, superstitions, religious bondages, false prophecy, accusations, slander, gossip, lies, false teachers. We have a host of scriptures for that. I'll read a few. 2 Timothy 2, 16, 2 Peter 2 Peter, 1 John 3 through 5, and Revelation 12 and 10. You can look those up. And how do you deal with it? You bind the lying spirit in the name of Jesus. All this is in the name of Jesus, by the Spirit of the living God and the blood of Jesus. You loose the spirit of truth, Father God, Jesus, Holy Spirit, and the Word of God. That's John 4, 23 through 24. Then it's 14, 17. 15, 16, and then we're going to go over to 1 John 3:24-6. Now I'm going to go to the perverse spirit, and then I'm going to turn it over into the hands of Evangelist Montgomery. Now the perverse spirit, the manifestation of a perverse spirit is this: broken spirit, evil actions, atheist, abortion, child abuse, filthy mind, doctrinal error, sex perversions, twisting the word, foolish, chronic worrier, contentions, incest, pornography, and you got scriptures for that, and I'm going to read a few. Romans 1, 17 through 32, Philippians 2, 14 through 16, 1 Timothy 6, 4 and 5, 2 Timothy 3, 2 and 7 through 8, and Titus 3, 11 and 11, 2 Peter 2, 14. Now, how do you deal with this? It's the same way. You bind that perverse spirit in the name of Jesus. Then you loose God's spirit, pureness, holiness. Zechariah 12 and 10, Hebrews 10, 29, 12 through 14. And now I'll turn it over into the hands of Evangelist Montgomery.
All right, so just picking up where we left off last week, we were talking, you mentioned the Holy Spirit to him, and I think a lot of people don't, because it's not taught in churches about the Holy Spirit. They go through just the fundamentals of salvation. They'll get saved. They'll have them repeat after me and say the sinner's prayer. But after that, they don't give them teaching on how to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. I want to read you this out of Acts 19, 2 and 5. It's not saying they're not saved, but this is what Paul, this is coming from the Apostle Paul. And he said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? Talking to some of the disciples, that went on after Jesus, not the 12. So they said to him, we have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit. And I'm talking to the churches today. A lot of people don't even know anything about the Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit. We say spirit because a lot of times when you say ghost, it spooks people out. But it's just God's spirit, okay? And he said to them, and to what then were you baptized? Paul asked them, well, how were you baptized? And so they said, into John's baptism, because John was, the forerunner of Jesus Christ. He would baptize them. And then Paul said, John indeed baptized with the baptism of repentance, which we don't hear a lot today in these churches, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So my question to you, you're being tormented by demons, how to clean your house. One key factor is to get baptized with the Holy Spirit. If you don't know how to receive it, it's all throughout the Bible. Be ye filled. All you got to do is ask. Lord, fill me with your anointing, your spirit, to come and live inside of me. Because where the Holy Spirit is, demons can't dwell there. Amen? Just ask the Lord to come in and fill you with the spirit. So then, now we're going to go over to Mary Magdalene. We all heard the story. She had seven demons. That's true. But the manifestation of each one of those demons, it could have been lust, envy, perverseness. I mean, she got riches, greed. I'm calling on some of these demons that's tied together with that. She could have been performing all kinds of perverseness, okay? She could even be thieving. She could have had some of them men come up in there and they go to sleep and she steal their money. So she could have had a stealing demon. But however many it was, Jesus identified, said, you got seven devils, or, translation, demons. When he cast them out of her, he did tell her to go and sin no more.
Amen.
This is something we don't hear today in the churches. And I see a lot of times people want a quick fix. I have never seen so many unbelieving believers. You believe everything else but what the Bible say. You don't even want to talk about demons, but I got scriptures to show you Jesus spoke about demons. Now, we don't base our whole ministry off of them, but it should be part of your ministry. If somebody is attending your church and they are vexed sore with the devil, they should not have to go outside of that church and find somebody to get them delivered. And they paying you tithes and offerings. They shouldn't have to go to the little side ministry that nobody knows about to get you to cast the demon off of them. You should be able to go to whoever is in charge of that church, and I'm not talking about some little side minister, that pastor who stand up there pretty every Sunday with his Armani suits on, who is untouchable, a celebrity, he should be able to go and lay hands on you. I remember one time we was doing a deliverance and the woman was acting up so bad in church. I mean, just acting ignorant. You know, the devil, sometimes he will make people convulse and act foolish. And the pastor of that church, he told us, my husband and some group of us that was praying for it, he said, y'all go on and handle that. He said, because I ain't came up to that. You see what I'm saying? Preachers be more fearful of the devil than they do of God. And that shouldn't be so. Because if you know the power of God is living in you, the power of the Holy Spirit, he said, you shall cast out devils. You can heal the sick, raise the dead. You see? But now the church, all they're doing now is more of a social club. You don't see no miracles. And then they say, well, why are the people running to the world about all this new age? And you got all these demon hunters. You got paranormal investigators. You got, you know, all this demonic witchcraft. Why are they running to the world? You know why? Because they don't see miracles in the church. I would do a survey. I would like to take 90 minutes. What is the first 90 minutes of your service at your church? First, you got the praise and worship. That's about 40 minutes. Then you got to take up the tithe. Don't forget the tithe. And then the next 20, 30 minutes, the pastor, the man of the hour, going to stand up there and give you a 30-minute sermonette. But you're not going to see the presence of God. You're not going to see demons cast out. You're not going to... Look, this is what drew us in. When we were young Christians, I mean, we'd be glued looking at them men of God laying hands and demons speaking out. I wanted that power. I said, if they can do it, we can do it too. But they got the church so dumbed down that all the church want is money and material things. They're not desiring the deep things of God. This is why your house and your temples is infested. Because you sit up and you idle all day long. You're looking at the wrong things. You're reading the wrong stuff. You're doing the wrong things behind the scenes. And you think you're going to keep your temple clean? Notice I rhymed that. Get that from my son, the rapper. But anyway, it's impossible. You cannot keep bringing contaminated things into your body and think you're going to keep a clean house. I remember we had a little dog named Thumper. And you know how you would let dogs go out and play and come back. Well, he was a mutt. He was wild, real wild. He would come back to our house, and he would bring all kinds of little dead birds and little squirrels. And I tell the boy, what is he doing? Mm-hmm. This is how demons do. They'll come back to your house with all kinds of just things that you know shouldn't be in your spirit. Mm-hmm. And they'll bring it to your house. And a lot of times we accept it. We think, well, this is just who I am. I got a cursing demon, so I'm just going to curse. No, you need to ask the Lord to tame that tongue and get that spirit off of you.
Amen.
Oh, I got a perverse spirit. I just love to look at pornography. That's just a man for you. No, that's a demon spirit. Look, we got to keep it plain because you're not getting this in your churches. You got to have God. You got to repent. Repentance is the first thing what Bishop said. Repent. Jesus told Mary Magdalene, go and sin no more. Mm-hmm. Lest something worse will come upon you, worse than what you had. You had 7 demons, but each demon going to bring a buddy. Mm-hmm. So instead of 7, you're going to have 14. And they multiply like that.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have any filters. I see so many Christians don't even have filters over some of the stuff they watch on TV. You got to have filters. The Holy Spirit, this is why I say pray and ask God to fill you with his Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit will lead you. And I'm going to say this, these women getting up, and I'm not a dress police, and I'm not here to condemn you, but if you come out the streets with a spirit of lust or prostitute, you don't need to wear them same prostitute clothes up in the church.
Mm-hmm.
Because that spirit is connected to them clothes. Do y'all hear what the evangelist is saying? Some of that stuff you need to get rid of.
Amen.
If you was wearing them dresses and you was stopping traffic, don't you? Who am I talking to out there? Go and you got good clothes. You could even go to the Goodwill somewhere and get some nice. I mean, we lived at the Goodwill when we got saved. We didn't have a lot of money.
Mm-mm.
But we go over there and get them clothes. We wash them, bring them back home. Because I'm going to tell you, spirits can be transferred through clothing. They can be transferred through pictures, things you pick up at rummage sales. And pray over this stuff.
Yeah.
nobody is here condemning you, but pray over it. And I don't mean come as you are. Sometimes come as you are, you know what that means. He means let your heart just come in with a pure heart before him. But you don't have to continue living a life of sin. Living a sinful life, we all are sinners saved by grace. True that. But I don't practice it every day. I'm not going to the church on Sunday and then on Friday I'm going to the club. This is how you open yourself up to demonic spirits. Then when the spirit of depression and oppression come up on you, you don't pick it up at somebody at the club. Or you want to do all this perversion. Somebody at demons transfer. This is how you guard your temple. He said, touch not the unclean thing.
Mm-hmm.
Turn away from it. My friends is not that important to me if they lead me to hell. I'm going to cut them off. He said, whatever offend you, cut it off. Pluck it off. A lot of you living in sin right now with your boyfriend in your house and you speaking in tongues every Sunday. You need to tell him. Put it, and I don't know who I'm talking to, but if you having sex and you know you ain't married, this is a sin before God. Because if you two consenting adults, then you do have a right to go and get a marriage license and make it legal before God. We had remember the lady, she had a testimony. She said every time she would have sex with this man, she said the demon would be at the foot of her bed. I said, then why are you having sex?
No, right.
You know? That's a sign. I felt every time I look up, we get through having sex, he's standing at the foot of my bed looking at me. You know, and this is how ignorant the body of Christ is. Cut off in Acts when he said when they were practicing, I'll find that scripture, they were into all kinds of witchcraft. He said they burned those books. They kept burning all them curious art because, see, they were sincere about God. They weren't holding on to that spell book or the book of the dead because I want to cast a spell on them, but I want to be saved. No, get rid of that stuff. Get it out your house. This is why we say how to demon-proof your house and temple of God. Amen? And so we went to the demon grouping, so I just wanted to kind of cover that a little bit. Because I see a lot of times we be sitting up in the church and just as bound up as we can be. One of them is bitterness. And he talked on resentment, hatred. You can read it. Read that for me.
Galatians 5 and 20. Idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies. And we also know that in Acts, when Paul was in Acts, he met these people who was involved in witchcraft,
mm-hmm.
and they burned all the witchcraft
articles.
They said it come to something like $50,000 to $60,000 worth of implements of witchcraft. They burned it all when they got saved.
But they were sincere. Now you got people that get saved. They claim in Hollywood, Elder Shambach used to call it Hollywood, but they would get saved now. They get saved, but they want to still do what they was doing in Hollywood. Well, that's my job. But if you know they're doing things against God, then maybe you need to pray God give you another profession.
Mm-hmm.
You know? That's where the rich young ruler got tied up because he say, if I walk away, if I give all my money, then I'm not going to have any. Mm-hmm. This is just how Hollywood thinks. If I turn to God for real, then I got to give up being an actor. And they call it acting because that's not the true them.
Mm-hmm.
They're players. They're acting on a stage. And a lot of you worship these people. Those are your idol gods. God say, have no other God before me. And you worship these people. You worship these preachers that is not teaching you anything but how to get some money. And I asked the Lord, I said, well, Lord, how is their churches so big? And I said, and I listened to them, and a lot of times they teach us stuff for little babies. And he said, the reason they're so big is because the people make them big. He said, a pastor cannot be as big as what the people make them. What am I saying? You supporting the ministry. You making them mega pastors, rich because you've given to them because you want what they have. It's a spirit of covetousness.
Well, if I sow into his ministry, I know I'll be blessed.
Well, how do you know he's following God? How do you know that? Or are you like some of the Bereans? We're going to check this brother out and see. Because when Paul first got converted, they didn't accept Paul right away. They said, no, we better check him out. We want to watch his fruits. But a lot of them, you can't get close enough to them. You don't know how they living. But you could tell by what come out of their heart.
Mm-hmm.
So casting out demons, it's just really basic deliverance. And you, like I said, you could be in the confines of your own home. You don't have to have a minister to lay hands on you. You can just ask God to cleanse me. Lord, I repent. I done bought this perverted, unclean thing in my house, in my temple. And I ask through the Holy Spirit to take it out. And you call it out, whatever it is. It may be lust. It might be perversion. It might be jealousy. It might be envy. It might be hatred. Yeah, I say hatred. Because you can be sitting up hating somebody and you don't even know why you hate them.
Mm-hmm.
That's a spirit of envy and jealousy.
Mm-hmm.
Like we said earlier, Cain killed his brother because he was jealous of him. Because God honored his sacrifices. God say, I would have did the same with you, but you giving me garbage you don't want.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? I'm just paraphrasing. You can go and read the whole book of Genesis. It's in there. But this is what you have to do. You have to cast these things out. These are just some prayers we're going to go over with you. And if you right there in your home and you know you're being bound up right now, you know you got family members bound up, you know the spirit of drunkenness, perversion, incest running through your family, you can pray with us. As we close out the next 13 minutes, you can bow your head wherever you are. I see somebody right now at the tavern. I don't know why God showed me that. But you're hearing our voice. You can bow your head right now, and you can pray this prayer with us.
Amen.
And the Spirit of God can come over you so strong, you're going to get up and you're going to leave out of that tavern. Well, we call it tavern. Nowadays they call them clubs, don't they?
Yeah.
Because you know you was once saved. You know God had his hand on you. You don't have no business being there.
That's right.
This is the Spirit of God convicting you. He don't condemn you, but he convict you. You have, and I see so many times the church try to be buddy-buddy with the world. You can't do that.
That's right.
Because they don't respect who you are in Christ Jesus. You find yourself compromising. That's why he came against the church of Laodicea.
That's right.
You were the compromising church. You let any foul bird or whatever, birds represent demons in the Bible, come up in there in your church. You bring these people fresh out of the whole house and they ain't repenting, but you put them in the choir.
Yeah.
You bring these celebrities that did some kind of ritual the night before, but you got them up over your people because they draw a crowd.
Yeah.
God said, come out from among them.
That's right.
Amen. So we're going to pray that the power of God break these spirits, and we're going to bind them up, and we're going to cast them out. So just pray along with us as we got 12 minutes, and we're going to break these spirits. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
All right.
Amen.
Father God, in the name of Jesus,
yes,
we forgive everyone that has hurt or sinned against us,
yes.
And we pray for our enemies.
Yes, Lord.
We exercise honesty, humility, repentance, renunciation, forgiveness, prayer, and warfare.
Hallelujah.
We seize the kingdom of heaven and take it by force from Satan.
Hallelujah.
We overcome Satan by the blood of the Lamb, by our testimony for Jesus Christ, and we love not our lives unto death. We send back every fiery dart and demon attack that has been sent against us.
Hallelujah.
We give no opportunity to the devil.
Yes,
we cast out the demons and their works. We eject, drive out, pluck out, thrust out, expel, rebuke, censure, admonish, send away, put out, loosen holes, break up nests, and put off works of demons.
Jesus.
We have power, authority, mastery, superhuman force, and control over all the works of the enemy.
Yes.
You must obey and subordinate yourselves to our command.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. We resist, despise, have contempt for, speak doom to, abhor, loathe, detest, and hate everything that God hates.
Hallelujah.
All sin and evil, Satan, fallen angels, and demons.
Yes.
We break the power of cursed objects,
yes,
hex signs, demonic toys, and games, and objects infested by demons.
Yes, hallelujah.
We put on the whole armor of God and cover ourselves with the blood of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord, Master, and Savior.
Hallelujah. And hallelujah. Holy Spirit, we close all doorways for Satan in the occult, addiction, sexual impurities, demonic healings, demonic religions, any kind of rock music that have that demonic flair behind it, any inheritances that we may have received that is not from you, Lord God. We don't want it, Lord God, and any other known objects or unknowns that we don't even know is in our home, Lord. By your Holy Spirit, you show us.
Amen.
If there's any unclean thing in our home, Lord, we want to clean it out.
Amen.
We want to clean out our temple, Lord God.
Yes.
Search my heart, oh Lord. Make sure there's nothing in me that's going to keep me separated from you. And we repent of all these abominations and idol gods that we have placed before you. We place the football game before you when we should be on our knees praying. Lord God, we place Netflix before you when we should cut that TV off and be praying. Lord God, we humbly repent tonight.
Amen.
And Lord God, we want your spirit. We want your divine authority. We don't seek the authority of the enemy. We don't want his power. We want your Holy Ghost power.
Amen.
To fill our soul. And Lord God, we cover ourselves in the blood in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
So with that prayer, if you prayed that prayer with us, you got some deliverance tonight.
Amen.
Amen. Now, you may start manifesting. You may start coughing. That's just some things coming out. People manifest in different ways, and some people don't manifest. But God is cleansing you, and as you continue to pray and rebuke these spirits, you'll see day by day you'll be strengthened. You'll start growing. Things that you used to want to do or stuff you used to look at, Holy Spirit will say, cut that off. I mean, it has been some program we thought we was going to look at.
And we couldn't.
And we couldn't look at it. The Holy Spirit said, don't look at that.
Amen.
Don't even bring that in your house. And now they mask, like a lot of these comedy movies, they say they comedy, but they be so perverted. They be cussing. They have sex in them. He said, cut it off. Just cut it off. So be led by the Spirit. And I'm going to tell you something else. Even when you go out to eat food, you don't know if this food been sacrificed to idols. That's why you should always bless your food.
You better bless it.
Bless your food. Bless anything you bring into your house. And I don't get off on, like I said, with the clothing, but you can even pray over that. Because you don't know who, if you go into yard sales or, you know, remember that, Balenciaga, clothing.
Yeah.
A lot of the stuff we buy, we don't know who them folks sacrifice to get this stuff.
Yeah.
Pray over it.
That's why
you pray over everything. Man should always pray.
And not
pray. Pray over it. Lord, I might need a wig, but pray over it.
Amen.
You know? Because you don't know. But some people, and I'm sensitive because some people do have cancer and they have to wear them. So let's not be so ignorant to say that that's demonic. No, I don't say that. That's foolishness. If you need it, you wear it. In anything you do, in modest apparel, God is okay with it. But you need to pray over this stuff. Because sometimes these religious preachers will tell you, don't do this and that, but they themselves has hidden the sins in them. So we're not here to cast a finger or blame anybody. Like I say, Jesus say, woman, when she was caught in adultery, didn't he tell her?
Mm-hmm.
He said, where are your accusers? She said, Lord, I have none. But he did say, go and sin no more. Okay?
Amen.
We're not here, Kingdom of God Ministries, we're not here to condemn anybody. But we're here to expose the darkness. And we're here to preach truth.
Amen.
The word of God, unadulterated word of God. Amen. So remember, next week, we're going to have our special guest, Bishop Curtis Earthquake Kelly. He will be coming to you live. We got 2 whole hours, and he's going to be sharing as God give it to him. Amen.
Amen. Amen. So we've already prayed over praying. And so we want
next
y'all
week.
To be with us next week to for Bishop Earthquake Kelly. He's going to be bringing out some very informative things, some things that you don't
escaping
you
the
don't know about.
Cycle.
He's going to tell you how to get out of that.
Get out of this cycle.
And that's what we want to do. We want to help people to get out from under the oppression
of
the enemy.
Amen.
Amen.
So we'll see you next week. God bless you and have a good night. Bye.
Amen.